Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our newborn King. Amen. I want to talk about our gospel today from Matthew 2, this troubling gospel of trouble. We pray, Lord, as we gather around the manger, your word, your sacrament today, as we gather around you, richly bless the hearing, preaching, teaching, the teaching of your word, grant us the Holy Spirit and faith, understanding. May we depart with great joy and peace, ready to serve you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you full? Have you had your fill of Christmas? You know, we still have 7 days of Christmas. We're only on the fifth day, 7 more days to make 12. But have you already had your fill of Christmas? Presents and then returning presents and parties at this grandma's and that grandma's and that aunt's and that person's house and food and more food and more food, and yet there's even more to eat, it seems like. Have you had your fill of Christmas? Let's move on to 2014, a new year. Well, the readings today remind us that Christmas is a time to be full. It's a time that God fills things up. Christmas is a time when God is filling things. He fills a manger with his son. He fills the sky with angels. He fills the shepherds with praise and faith. In the epistle reading from Galatians, St. Paul writes, "When the fullness of time had come," meaning in the giving of Jesus, God has filled up time. It's the perfect time, the right time. Time is filled up now, and so Jesus comes, whatever exactly that means. It's the right time, the full time. And then the gospel lesson from Matthew 2, you have the word fulfill, I think, 3 times. We read about the early events of Jesus' life, as troubling as they are, and yet it all fulfills prophecy. The flight to Egypt fulfills the prophecy from Hosea, "Out of Egypt I called my son." God filling up the Old Testament scriptures. And then the terrible tragedy of the murder of the little boys in Bethlehem. God, though, is filling up scripture from Jeremiah, of Rachel, that's Bethlehem, and the Jews crying out over their children. And then going back to Nazareth eventually, they're on the move. "He shall be called a Nazarene." God fills up time. God fills the Old Testament scriptures. But above all, we know at Christmas time, what does God want to fill? People. He wants to fill you, that you would say, "My cup runneth over, I'm so full, I have more than what I could possibly ever want." God would fill your heart. I want to talk about that for just a few minutes today, how God fills us, what happens when God fills us with Jesus. He fills our ears with good news. He fills our mouths with good news, Jesus. We go home full. What happens when God fills us? You know, when we eat temporal food, and we've probably eaten a lot of that over the last few days, am I right? How many pounds have you gained? Often when we are full of temporal food, we are sick. "I can't eat another bite, I'm so full." We are sick and then we sleep. Where's the lazy boy for a nap, and give me the remote control so I can take a nap? That's what happens with temporal food when we're full. We get sick, perhaps, cramps, and we want to sleep. That's not what happens when God fills us with Jesus, the bread of life. 3 things quickly. When God fills us with Jesus, and my prayer as we end this year in 2014 is that you be full of Jesus. Not a little bit of Jesus here or there. You be full of him. In ears and mouth, in heart. When God fills us, obviously, number one, we are satisfied. We are content. We don't grumble and complain about our lot in life. Do you read anything where Joseph and Mary complain about all the moving and the murder and the trouble that Herod's causing? They just move. They have baby Jesus. What else do they need? They have the Son of God, the Messiah, right in their arms. And so when God fills you with Christ, you are satisfied, you're content, you're at peace, there's great joy. As I read the Christmas story, it's full of satisfied people. Mary is very satisfied. She goes off having just had a baby and treasures things in her heart, ponders them, a picture of utter satisfaction in the birth of her son, wants nothing else. And Joseph, he is very quiet. We have no recorded words of Joseph after the birth, really, which means he's a satisfied man. A man that's quiet is usually pretty satisfied. He's full. He has the Messiah, the Son of God, his son. And you have the shepherds. They are very satisfied. They go and see the baby Jesus, and they return glorifying and praising God, telling the whole town of Bethlehem, a picture of satisfaction, of joy and peace. My cup runneth over, the shepherds would say. And the angels, the multitude of angels, all of heaven is satisfied, singing glory to God in the highest. They can't shout it loud enough. They're all satisfied, at peace, yes. When God fills you with Jesus, you are satisfied. You know, I went 1 for 3 this Christmas. Pat, I batted 333. I got Ann 3 what I thought were marvelous gifts, and guess how many worked? 1 out of 3. One worked kind of, and then the other two, we're going to take them back. And that's all right. We married, what, 26, 27 years? That's all right. With temporal gifts, take them back. And when you take a gift back, what's it mean? I'm not satisfied. I'm not content. I want the money or I want something else. And you guys do it all the time. You want to return Jesus? God, give me something else. Give me a pile of money. Give me the lottery. Give me a new job. I want to return Jesus for something else. Of course not. We want him and want more of him and want more of him. We'd never return him, although some people probably would. Satisfied. That's what happens when God fills us. May you be content throughout 2014, though there be a Herod chase you and tragedy strike your life. Secondly, to get more to the gospel, when God fills us with Christ, we are sent. All right, when we eat temporal food and are full, we often sleep. Nap. That's not what happens when God fills you with Jesus. You're not here to sleep now and take a nap. All right, I got Christ. Ho-hum. But God sends you then to go share Jesus and his love with others, to be a little missionary. And that really is the point of the gospel. You have Joseph and Mary moving all over the place. It's the first Sunday after Christmas. You'd think you'd read a nice, quaint little gospel of how they're resting in Bethlehem, and people come for a visit now and then, and they're relaxing, resting, having a vacation somewhere perhaps, taking it easy after this turbulent birth of Jesus. But no, this first Sunday of the Christmas, they're on the move. Herod's trying to kill baby Jesus. Trouble started. He must bear the cross. Suffering's coming now. Christ comes not just only to bring a peace, but a sword too, for some won't believe in him. So they have to go all the way down to Egypt. That's hundreds of miles. They come all the way back. And then they're scared to go to Judea because Archelaus, who's as bad as his dad, reigns there. And then they go up to Nazareth finally. They're on the move. And why is this? Well, it fulfills Scripture. And that's comforting, God's providence. Even though tragedy and trial, God's in charge. God knows what he's doing. Don't panic. God has a master plan. It all fits into that in some way. But it's not merely fulfilling Scripture. God sends out the Holy Family to be missionaries. Think of all the people's lives they can touch, Joseph and Mary. I don't picture them just hiding out in a tent. Oh no, Herod may be around the corner. I picture them telling people on the way to Egypt, all the people they travel with or they see traveling. They could speak about their son, the Messiah, the angels, peace on earth, the Savior of the world, all the people's lives they can tell. And then in Egypt, all the people they can tell. We don't know all the people that were saved because Joseph and Mary were there. But no doubt there'll be people in heaven, maybe many, along the way to Egypt and in Egypt that are saved because Joseph and Mary went there with the baby Jesus. And then coming back telling people. And then in Judea telling people. And Nazareth telling people. They're to be little missionaries. They're in trouble. They're scared. They don't like it a whole lot. Mary's saying, do we ever just going to settle down? We got to travel all over the place. And God is saying, when you have Jesus, my son, you are sent. And you may not like it always where you're at in life and what you have to do in life and where you live and so forth. But you are there to be a Christian. Wherever you are in life, you are to be a Christian there. And to share Jesus there and his love there. As I read the gospel lesson, I think of the parable. We're on the parables in our Bible class. The parable of the sower and the seed. And God is the farmer sowing the seed. And Herod is certainly the hard ground he won't receive. But God doesn't stop. Herod's not going to stop the gospel. And so God now sending Joseph and Mary out is planting seeds other places. That the good news go out. Are you happy in your lot in life? Do you wish you could move, do another job, live somewhere else? You're here. Rejoice. Be a missionary. Be a Christian. Show forth God's love. On Christmas night, I was with some family up in Indianapolis, and we played this game. And I never really like to play games on Christmas because I'm tired and just want to mellow out. But we played this game, Celebrity. And the whole point of the game is you get a name of a celebrity, and you're trying to get your teammates to say that name. It's like password. Describe the person and try to get them to say that name. Well, of course, I'm Pastor Buescher, and I'm very good with words, and I'm going to dominate this game, and I'm going to have my teammates at least say five or six names because I'm so good describing things. Am I right, congregation? You can say wrong. But, you know, I'll dominate because I get a name of a celebrity. And the name is Jennifer Heigl. Who's heard of Jennifer Heigl? All right, I stand. See, Ann? And I say, I don't know who in the world this person is. And I sat there for 30 seconds saying, I don't know who this is. I guess she's an actress of some sort. And so, 0 points for Paul. Then my next name was, beloved, Madonna. And I thought of all sorts of terrible things to say to describe Madonna, but I didn't want to break the eighth commandment after all. I didn't do very well. We want to get the name of Jesus out. We want to get the name of Jesus out. And may we do that well. You know him. You love him. You know the story. Wherever you're at, share the saving name of Jesus, that everybody around you knows Jesus and his love. Go tell it on the what? The mountain. We're going to sing at the end of church. And in the valleys, in the cities, in your home, in your workplace. And last of all, when God fills you, you're still starving for more. This is the unique thing about Jesus, the bread of life, being our spiritual food. When you hear of Jesus and learn of Jesus and you partake of Jesus, you commune with Jesus, you are satisfied, your cup runneth over with peace, but yet you're still starving for more. And then you receive more and you're satisfied, but then you still want more. He is the one food you can keep eating and be satisfied, but still want more. No other food's like that. For Christmas night, you know what I had? Prime rib. Who had prime rib Christmas night? Come on. A couple of you, very good. A lot of you stuck with turkey. That's good too. But prime rib. And I had several ounces of prime rib. Okay, I had a lot of ounces of prime rib. But even then, Pastor Buescher, who can eat like a horse, pig, whatever animal you want to choose. Even I had a time when I said, I just can't eat another bite. I hate saying those words. But even I said, I just can't eat another bite. I don't want to see another piece of prime rib, at least till tomorrow morning. Okay, Mom? Please. Sick. Find a nap. Sleep. Delicious food, but I've had enough. That's temporal food, but Christ is not like that. You learn of him and hear of him and eat of him, but you still want more. You're starving for more and more and more and more. And certainly this gospel lesson leaves us starving for more. With the trouble and the murder of babies, we want heaven and we long for glory. It's a gospel of trouble, but we want triumph, glory, heaven. No more Herods, no more enemies, no more persecutors, no more sickness, no more disease, no more death, no more war, no more having to move all the way around as people try to chase us around this globe. We want to settle down in the promised land, heaven, and have glory and resurrection. We're starving for that. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm satisfied now. I have you, but I want to be with you forever in heaven and settle down and be at peace. And so we starve for that. And we long for that as we read that gospel. The little babies are in heaven. Joseph's in heaven. Mary is there. The shepherds are there. And all the people they told along the way that believed are there. We long to be there too. We're starving, hungering for that. Two artists were asked to describe or paint a picture of peace. How would you paint peace? And one artist painted a garden. a beautiful garden, bright sunshine, a path to the garden, flowering trees, birds flying around, a hammock over here you can rest in, peace. And the other artist drew this. He drew a picture of a raging waterfall and a thunderstorm with lightning and rain. And overhanging the waterfall was a tree right on the edge of the waterfall. A tree was there, and a tree had branches hanging over the waterfall, and the mist was coming up upon the tree and the rain coming down and lightning near it. And out on a branch, way out on a branch, was a bird's nest. And the mommy bird was sitting with her babies in that nest. And that's the peace we have now. There's trouble all around us. Read the gospel. Waterfalls, lightning, thunder cracking around us. Trouble in this world, and yet we're in the nest of God's love. No one can snatch us from his hands. He loves us. He cares for us. He'll take care of us. But how we starve and hunger for the garden. We want the new Garden of Eden where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. We can be there forever. And we will be by the love of Jesus. Little Branson has everything he could desire. If he could talk right now, I have Jesus, I'm saved. But even now he's starving for heaven too. So, my prayer this December 29, a new year, may God fill you. And as God fills your ears and your mouth with his Son, be satisfied, know you are sent to tell others, and may we all starve, hunger, thirst for glory. In Jesus' name, amen.